at me.
Othello on the beat.
What's going on, everybody? Jay Wright with Frustrated Black Christian Podcast, episode number 21. Just me this week, y'all. We got some upcoming guests coming up in the next few weeks. That's going to be some good episodes, some great conversations. So I'm excited about that. But this week is just me. I just want to talk to y'all just for a little bit about some thoughts that's been going on in my head, some thoughts that's been in my heart, and I just want to share it with you all. Not so much talking, you know, about anybody, but it's kind of like a conversation that I've had with myself, a come to Jesus moment, if you will. Just checking some things within my own self, and I just want to share it with you all. Today's episode is entitled, Can You Handle It? Can You Handle It? And this episode is inspired by my life currently, about, you know, a lot of the things that are happening in my life, a lot of good things. You know, it's nothing bad. It's just some things that I'm really putting a lot of energy and a lot of time and a lot of effort in. And it's a lot of things that I've been praying for and a lot of things that I've been asking God to do in my life. And he's really starting to do it. And I'm starting to see it sprout up from the ground, if you will. But to maintain that growth that you want to see, it requires a lot from you. I was just reading the scripture from Luke, the 14th chapter and the 28th verse, I believe, where Jesus basically says, and I'm just paraphrasing, for us to count up the cost and to see if you have the ability to do it. Because if you start off doing something and you don't finish it, that gives people room to mock you. That gives people room to talk about you. That gives people room to say, you know, hey, I knew they couldn't do it. I knew they didn't have what it took for them to accomplish what they said they were going to do. So Jesus is saying, count up the cost and basically analyze that which you say you want to accomplish. And I hope I'm making sense. But in me, my thoughts, thinking about those things and thinking about, you know, asking myself, can you handle it? I have to, you know, start from the beginning and start where this really came from. Around the last week of August, I was invited to come and speak at one of my best friend's church. His Pastor Rod Ingram and Bishop Billy White. I was asked to come speak at their family and friends Sunday. So, of course, it's an honor to be asked to come speak at a church because I rarely get speaking engagements. But that's neither here nor there. Those are coming, I believe. But anyways, I was invited to come and speak. And I don't take those things lightly, whatever. I don't take those things for granted. And, you know, I was praying. When I got the invitation, I was, of course, you pray and you submit and you yield to God and ask God to just use you for his will and for his glory. Whatever he wants to do through you, you know, you avail yourself to be used by God. And I'm just kind of taking y'all behind the scenes of my preparation. And it's not just with, you know, going outside of Run Jacks, but even every Sunday, I'm always asking God, yielding myself, ask God to use me, to speak through me, to speak to me first, then you speak through me to his people for their edification and his glorification. But anyways, yielding myself and asking God to have his way. And, you know, I had one message in mind that I was going to do. And that Saturday, before I had to speak at the church that next day, God really started dealing with me and he changed my message. And I mean, this is nothing unusual. You know, God, you know, if you have ever preached before, you're a pastor, you're a minister, and you have one thing in mind, you think that's what God is speaking to you. Sometimes he will shift your whole plan. He will shift your whole message and shift everything, whatever. So, you know, I yield, of course, and I shifted to where God wanted me to shift. And that Sunday I spoke what God would have me to speak. And God really blessed that service. And I'm not talking, and there's a point to all of this. God really blessed that service. You know, a lot of deliverance taking place, a lot of healing took place. And, you know, people ask me how the service went. I was like, it went good. God bless. Because I don't want to take no credit for myself. Or I don't want to. I've been in this place where I don't want to. I will acknowledge the good that is happening in my life, but I don't get caught up with the good that is happening in my life, because I've got caught up with the good so many times where I started actually operating and thinking that I was doing it on my own, or it was because I was talented, or because I was funny, or because I could write, or I could do whatever like that. And so I've been in a real humble place right now to where I will talk about the good that is happening, that God is doing, but I don't get caught up in it because I know that there's more that he's requiring of me. But anyways, that service was like really, really life-changing. It was awesome. God really blessed. You know, was getting a lot of good people coming back with testimonies and stuff like that, talking about how the service and the word impacted them. And, you know, it's nice to hear. You know, it's nice to hear that you are operating in your purpose and it's being you and it, what you're saying is being useful. excuse me. But my point is, whenever God uses you to that level that it was, that I was in, that level I was on that day, and I've had it happen to me other times before, but it really struck home that day because it was like the glory of God, and I'm trying to make sure I explain it the way that you guys can understand it. The presence of God was so heavy on me that day, and God was just speaking through me. And I was telling Keisha, it felt like every time I felt like I didn't have anything to say, because God even started using us to prophesy to people. And it was maybe like 15, 20 people up there. I told Keisha, every time I felt like I was empty, it's as if God was filling me right back up to speak what he wanted me to speak to that person. And I'm kind of getting emotional about it, just even thinking about it, because that was just a powerful moment. But as I was speaking and as God was using me, yes, he was using me spiritually, but it was taking a toll on my body physically, y'all. Like, I was drained. I felt like I was going to pass out. And I first started getting exhausted the way I was. Towards the end of my message, because God really had me driving some points home. And shout out to Sister Cummins. She used to always tell me this when I was younger and I used to preach, and she used to be like, "You need to stop preaching so hard. You're gonna pass out," or whatever like that. but anyways, she's always telling me that. It's just funny now I think about it. But anyways, I was preaching hard, driving these points across or whatever, and I just started feeling this I started getting exhausted, and my body was getting really weak and really tired. But, you know, God pulled through. Thank God for my team. Thank God for, you know, of course, Akeisha, thank God for Alden, thank God for Lady James, that's my team. When I go and I minister, we have a bigger team, Ashley, Tanisha, Town, you know, Nicole was with us that Sunday. But those people, those Alden, Akeisha, Lady James, when I'm praying for people, they're usually the ones, in addition to the prayer team that the church has, they're the ones that go with me and praying for each individual. They're also praying for me. But anyways, I was just feeling so weak, and they were praying me through to finish the assignment. And I kept asking God, like, "God, just let me finish my assignment. Let me finish my assignment. And I felt like I was about to just pass out at any given moment. But thank God for his grace and his mercy and his strength that carried me through. I was able to finish the assignment. After service, I tried to beeline it through my to my car because I had to go to work right after that. So I was just like, Jesus, God, you have to help me through this day. And, you know, Keisha really was there. Like I said, Alden and Lady James really praying me through, my whole team, Ash, Tam, and Tanisha really there praying me through. And Rod and Key, my friends, they was there helping us as well. And the thought came to me then, and I'm just starting to reminisce about it now, kind of relive it now. The thought came to me, or the question came to me is, can you handle it? Can you handle my glory? And it's not as if I want the glory for myself, but it was God was saying, you know, in order for me to, what I felt God was speaking to me personally was, in order for me to use you the way that you want to you be used and the way that I want to use you, you have to be in a place where you can handle the assignment that I put at your hands. Meaning that I have to get my body in shape. I have to get my mind rested. I have to be at a certain place to be used by God. And I'm going to make this a broader conversation, saying that a lot of us, we want a lot of things, and we pray and we ask God for certain things. And the truth is, we can't handle what we're asking for. We can't handle what we're asking God to do in our lives. And it's not that you can't do it, but it's that you're not prepared to do it. God spoke to me at the beginning of this year for our ministry. Our theme, we always have a theme this year, not that year of thing, not the year of supernatural breakthrough or the year of wealth or the year of flow. I'm not talking about all of that. If you do that, that's fine. But I'm talking about us. Our team for this year, God spoke to us and said, organization, preparation will equal manifestation. Meaning that if we organize and we prepare for the things that we're asking God for, those things will start manifesting in our lives. And even in it now, I'm seeing this requirement taken to a whole nother level because I even noticed now that there are different things that I can't do what I used to do and expect God to use me the way that I want to be used. I can't do the things that I want to outside of the church, the different businesses I want to do outside the church, and keep that same mentality, keep that same mind frame, keep the same body. I have to start doing things that will help discipline me so that I'm able to finish the assignment and carry out the task so those things can begin to manifest in my life. Like I said, a lot of us want a lot of things and we wish and we want. And the truth is, God wants us to have those things as well, too. But and I told the church this, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago, within the last 2 weeks. I said that God wants us to have these things, too. But he's too good of a father to give us these things and we're not ready to handle it. My daughter, Riley, my 2-year-old, she loves to get in the car. She loves to touch everything. She loves to get on the steering wheel. She loves to put the gear thing in place. Of course, I got my foot on the brake. She ain't finna kill us. But anyways, she loves to do all these things. And I'm pretty sure she has an interest in the car. My daughter, Harmony, has the same interest. My daughter, Tori, has the same interest in the car. As a father, It is my will to give my kids a car when it's time for them to have a car. When they turn 16, 17 years old, they don't have to go and try to work to get them a car because Akeisha and I will have something established for them to get the car, get a good starter car. I'm not going to give them the car of their choice or whatever like that, but I will give them they're going to have a good car. They're going to have no rinky-dink car either. But that's my will and my wish as a father, but in its proper time. I'm not going to give it to them when they don't have the ability to handle something. Here it is, something that can do damage to them, because the car is can do damage to a person that does not know how to drive. A car can do damage to a person that don't know how to handle a vehicle in its proper place. What are you talking about, Olajuwon? This is what I'm saying. A lot of our things that we're asking God to give us, God don't want to give it to us, not because he don't want us to have it, but because we're not prepared to have it and to handle it when we get it. Because if he was to give it to us, in this immature state that we're in this untrained and this unlearned and undisciplined state that we are in, it can do us some damage. So he's too good of a father to give it to us when we're not prepared for it. So what that told me is, Olajuwon, I want to use you the way you want to be used. I want to use you for my glory. I want to use the gift that's inside of you to help bring deliverance to the people and bring glory to my name. I want your light to shine before men so they can see the good works and glorify me. I want you to be used, but can you handle what you're asking for? You got to be in a place where you got to be, you can count up the cost and realize, man, there's some things that I need to do to get my life together so that I can be used. I got to eat better. I got to start exercising more. I got to be more active. I can't just stay still and stagnate and expect God to use me over and over and over again. There have been cases where there have been pastors and preachers who have preached so hard that they sit down after the sermon and after God has got done using them, and they sit down and they die in their chair. Because they're... whatever's going on in their body isn't disciplined enough to handle. I might not know everything that's going on, but it's just like I could understand that, because like I said, I literally felt like I was going to pass out that Sunday. Like they literally had to help me up, help me to my seat or whatever. And this ain't no showman thing or whatever like that. This ain't no showmanship or whatever like that. I'm trying to impress nobody. Like, no, man, God, deliverance like really, really took place in there. If you was there at that service, you could testify of what God did, not what Olajuwon did, but what God did in that place. And God, like I said, God has used me in that lane many times before, but I just feel this urgency or this calling for him to use me more in that lane. So the question came, can you handle my glory? And it's like, okay, God, I hear what you're saying. Now it's time for me to get myself together. Now it's time for me to write out a plan and discipline myself even more so that I can be prepared to be used by you and I can be who you called for me, who you called me to be. I got to start writing this stuff down. I got to start disciplining myself, get back to what I used to do. I used to, you know, write down my plan, set a schedule, send it to Keisha. This is my schedule. This is how I'm going to be operating or whatever like that. Just so she's in the loop. She knows what's going on with me or whatever like that. If I'm fasting that day, she knows not to bother me with food. If I'm doing this, she knows, you know, I'm pretty disciplined in that. So she's not going to. She's going to make sure that I have everything that I need so that I can be disciplined, and she take care of the girls. And then those days where, you know, we back doing what we doing, you know, living our lives, we back doing what we do. So, but I got to get back to that. I got to get back to my 3-mile walk a day and my exercise, and I got to get back to my discipline in eating. You know, I had at one point, I had it pretty good where I stopped eating at a certain time and I was doing that intermediate fasting and I had got really good at it and I actually was enjoying it and I could tell the difference. I could feel the difference. Was, you know, I kind of stopped that for a while now, but I see that there's a need to get back, not just get back on it, but get back even more disciplined in it because, you know, I was doing it pretty good to where I was fasting 16 hours a day and only eating in that 8 hour time frame or whatever. And I even see the need that I need to get back to that and then increase it more because it was a benefit to me. It helped discipline me. It helped me connect more with God. It really kind of detoxed my body so that I could do what I needed to do. And, you know, I got a lot going on doing the podcast. I'm back in school, with the church, on the radio, still a father, still a husband, still doing everything else or whatever like that. And I got some other projects coming up as well, too. And it's like, you know, you got to get this thing together. You got to get your body together because you don't want to get to the place where things are popping off and your body can't handle it and something ends up happens to you. I'm not going to speak that over my life, but I'm just saying you got to be wise in it and you got to understand, you know, the cost of it all. And if you're not prepared, these are certain things that are at risk. So the things that I'm asking God for, I need to prepare for. And that's what I want to encourage you all to do. The things that you are asking God to do in your life, are you prepared to handle what you're asking for? You want a house, but are you prepared for the house? You want a car, but are you prepared for the car? You want a husband, are you prepared for a husband? You want a wife, but are you prepared for a wife? You want kids, but are you prepared for children? Because these things require sacrifice. Anything of value requires sacrifice. I can't eat how I used to eat or how I want to eat. Can I be honest? Right now, I want to go to Waffle House and go get me a couple of waffles because I don't really eat nothing else there. Just 2 waffles and go about my day. I really want that. I crave that right now. But I know that I don't need that. I know that it's not good for me to have right now. Who says that I can't have it? But right now in this place that I am, this place that I'm trying to discipline myself to be, I can't eat that right now. That's not for me. It might be for you, but I know what it takes for a large one. And right now, I cannot have it. And I had the opportunity to go. I just dropped the girls off, dropped Keisha off, dropped Riley off to mama's house. And I'm by myself in the car. I could have easily went to Waffle House and got it, came here. And see, this is how you got, why you got to be honest with yourself on why you know you can't handle it. Because here, I know me. If I go to Waffle House and I go get my 2 waffles and a cup of water, that's all I want. If I go to Waffle House, get my 2 waffles and a cup of water, I might change this episode to 2 waffles and a cup of water. Anyways, if I go there and I get it, I know what it'll do to my body. Automatically, I'm going to want to go lay down. I'm going to go lay down. And then next thing you know, it's time for me to go get the girls. Time for me to go get Keisha. Bring them home. But then I got to go to work. When I know I got to put a podcast out, episode out. When I know I can use this time after the podcast to start doing some more of my schoolwork. See, but if I go and I please my flesh right then and do what I want to do, that would negate all that I could do. So I had to decide while I was in my car driving, do I want to go get me 2 waffles and that cup of water? I do. I want to come in here, sit down, fresh mind, fresh thoughts, excited, encouraged, and wanting to do a podcast episode and then want to jump into my schoolwork, I do. I want to go and please my palate or my you know, my taste buds. And then this is the trip out thing about it too. I just told Keisha this the other day. I said, have you ever desired something so bad, and then when you finally get it, or you finally finally listen to something that you've been wanting to listen to that's been in your head, and then you finally do that thing, it's not as good as you thought it was going to be? And you're like, I wasted my time doing all of this. And that's what kind of motivates me to stay on the discipline side. And I'm not saying I missed the discipline, because I got some ways to go. But today I chose to do right. I can't tell y'all what I'm going to do tomorrow, Lord's willing. I can't even tell y'all what I'm going to do within the next hour or so. Hopefully I'm doing my schoolwork. But there's a good chance I might go get them two waffles and a cup of water. But I'm probably not, because I don't want to get up and drive nowhere else. But it's basically the ball is in your court. I believe that God has already manifested and destined everything for your life. I stopped preaching years ago at our ministry that God is not going to do it, that he's already done it. And our faith will help you see, will push you to see what's already been done. Scripture tells us that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's already ordered. It's already predestined. It's already established. I don't have to ask for him to do it. I believe that he has done it. And if I live by faith, and my faith requires me to be disciplined in some things, if I'm disciplined in some things, I will see those things that are already established for me. If I'm consistent in those things, I know that God is going to give me exactly what has already given me, what I'm looking for. So basically, the ball is in your court. And can you handle it? Can you do the work? Can you train? Can you discipline yourself to get to the goal that you want to get to? One of my favorite people in the world who I admire and I looked up to was Kobe Bryant. Rest in peace to Kobe Bryant. It was because he was a great basketball player, but I love the Mamba mentality, or the Kobe mentality that he had, that he was going to be so disciplined in his training that he would not let what he wanted to do stop him from what he was going to do, his discipline or whatever. And he used this example. He said, say you wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, and then you get ready and you go and you work out from, and I'm paraphrasing, but I'm just giving this example. Say you go work out from 9 to 11, come home, rest, you know, get your energy back or whatever like that. And you go back and then you train from, let's say, 4 to 6. You come back home, and then that's the end of your day. And he was like, well, for me, I wake up at 4 o'clock. So from 5 to 7, he's working out. From 9 to 11, he's working out. From 2 to whatever, he's working out. It's like, so after you only got 2 opportunities to train in, where I've got these multiple opportunities to train. So I'm that much ahead of you in what both of us are trying to accomplish. But because I'm more disciplined, I'm able to handle those things, and I'm able to push myself beyond my limits when I need to, when you will get burned out. And I take that in, and not just in the basketball sense, but in life sense, period. I want to get up and I want to outwork everybody. I'm not as smart as everybody. I'm not as smart as you all are. I'm not as talented as you all are. I'm not as gifted as you all are. I'm not as beautiful as you all are, handsome as you all are. You all are some beautiful people. And I will admit that you guys are better than me. But one thing about it is you won't outwork me. And that's the mentality that I have. I'm not going to let anybody outwork me. And my mom and my dad fussing like, son, you look tired. You look exhausted. Look at your eyes baggy and all that kind of stuff like that. And I do need my rest, and I do get my rest. And I can't get my rest because my daughters love sleeping in our bed. But that's another way for another day. But I can't just sit down and wait for life anymore because life has passed me by. I'm 36 years old with a beautiful wife, 3 beautiful daughters, a beautiful ministry, great parents, great friends and family, a great team that supports me and pushes me. And I can't just sit there and think that I've conquered it all. Alden did a great Bible study on last night and was talking about and encouraging us not to get to a place where we think we can handle life for our own, that we must always acknowledge God, that don't think you know it all, that you don't need to study or to read or to discipline yourself. And he really broke that thing down. And Keisha commented during the Bible study, she was talking about Paul, how Paul said, basically, not that I have already arrived or I've already obtained that I'm trying to go after, but I press towards the mark. And we got to understand that press is a continuous thing. It is a thing that you get up every day and push yourself to do. And to be able to press, you got to be able to handle what you are pressing against. So I just feel like this is like confirmation all around for my life. And I hope that you use my life as a launch pad and as an example to do even better or whatever and live even better than I am or that I want to. And I tell those people that I counsel, I just married a couple last week, and during the council, I was telling them that, you know, I want y'all to be better than me and Keisha. I want us, me and Keisha and I, to be a launching pad for your marriage and your relationship. And this is the thing I plan on, me and Keisha. I already feel like we're a dope couple, but we're going to be even doper. We're going to have the things that we want, the things that we're planning, and the things that we desire to have. We're going to have those things. So if me and Keisha is going to be striving to be this great, you have to be greater. I'm expecting you to be greater because I'm giving you the tools that we had to learn, and I'm teaching it to you because it wasn't taught to us all the way. There were some tough lessons that we had to learn, and you ain't got to learn those lessons. What's the old saying? A smart man learns from his mistakes. A wise man learns from the mistakes of others. I want you to be wise. Learn from this smart man's mistakes. And let's grow together. You can do this. You can be great. You can do whatever you put your mind to. You can have whatever you set your heart on. But you got to honestly ask yourself, can I handle it? Because what happened if you have that moment of honesty, and I'm getting ready to get out of here. I can't stand my church. They always talk about, you know, how long-winded I am. And when I say I'm about to get out of here, it's usually even more longer. But I promise you, I'm ready to get out of here for real. But when you're honest with yourself and say, maybe I can't handle that right now, but I'm going to work towards it so that I can handle it, it'll humble you down and it'll make you want to work. And you won't be so, you won't feel so entitled that you deserve it, because none of us deserves it. We earn it. Those things that you want in life, you don't deserve, you earn. You work for it. You work towards it. Yeah, you got the faith, but James tells us that faith without works is dead. So get your butt up and let's go to work. Get your butt up and let's be disciplined. Let's train. Let's strategize. Let's schedule. Let's write down the plans. And let's see what it costs. And then when you see what it's cost, ask yourself, can I handle it?
Othello on the beat.
And if you can handle it, get your butt up and let's do it. Time for talking and wishing is over. Wishing only works when you at Disney World. Because in the words of my pops, life don't owe you no living. So as I get out of here, once again, the question is, can you handle it? But I'm changing this episode title to two waffles and a cup of water. Because that's what I want. But I'm not going to do it. Because I got to discipline myself. So when I get off of here, I'm going to get up. Gonna wash my clothes. While my clothes are washing, I'm gonna get on school, get online, knock out some of these assignments, because I got somewhere I'm trying to be at. I got somewhere where I want Akeisha to be at. That girl is a superstar. And God's gonna use me to help get her to where she needs to be at. My kids deserve more, so I'm gonna do what I gotta do. My family and everything around me, my parents, my pastor, everybody, my church, my ministry, everybody that's attached to me, my friends, my siblings. I'm gonna do my part, and I wanna encourage them to do their part so we can be who we're destined to be, who God called us to be, so we can see manifestation in our lives, or what has been manifested in our lives. All right. Hope I made sense today. I just had that thought in my mind, and I feel better. And I hope and pray that you guys got something out of this rant, if you will, or this motivational speech. You know, I don't have the exciting voice like E.T., the hip hop preacher, as Keisha calls him, the man that be yelling all the time. You listen to the man that be yelling all the time? Yeah, because I love E.T. I read his book, pretty dope book, and it really motivated me. All right, I'm talking nonsense now. I'm about to get out of here. All right, I love y'all. I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for listening to Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. 21 episodes down. Thousands to go. We're gonna keep this thing going. Shout out to the crew. Shout out to everybody. I love y'all. And we'll see y'all next week for another episode of Frustrated Black Christian Podcast. Today's episode, two waffles and a cup of water. Till next time, y'all. Peace.